Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A report from ESPN last year found that college athletes at schools that are part of the Power Five conferences, that's the country's highest level college football leagues, were about 3 times more likely than other students to be accused of sexual misconduct. That's based on data from Title IX complaints. But now we're going to hear about a woman who wants college athletes to know that they're not the problem when it comes to sexual violence on campus, and they could be a big part of the solution. Karen Given from NPR's Only a Game has the story, and a warning. There are mentions of sexual assault. May not be appropriate for everyone.
Brenda Tracy is always on the move.
I kind of forget where I am sometimes. Half the time, I don't even know what time zone I'm in.
She travels from college to college. Almost always, she's asked to talk to athletes. Most often, it's the football team.
I'm always fearful. There's always a little bit of nausea. I just think there's always a fear that you're going to share the worst moment of your life, and maybe people aren't going to respond.
And then do you tell them the story of your rape?
Yes.
This is the story of Brenda Tracy's rape. Or at least, here are the details we can put on the radio. In the early morning hours of June 24th, 1998, Brenda Tracy was raped by 4 men. The attack lasted for 6 hours. Tracy filed a police report and had a rape kit taken at the hospital. All 4 men were arrested and charged. They faced up to 20 years in prison.
But because 2 of them played for Oregon State University, immediately people said, "Who is she? Why is she lying? Why is she trying to ruin these young men's football careers?" I started receiving death threats. Given the pressure, and then also the DA saying I didn't have a good case, the DA said it was a he said, she said, I dropped the charges. And then my community said, "See, we told you she's a liar, because if she was really raped, she would prosecute."
For the next 16 years, Brenda Tracy told almost no one about her rape. She says her silence felt like a prison. She was angry, and her anger was focused on one man, Oregon State head football coach Mike Riley. After the charges were dropped, Riley gave the Oregon State players a 1-game suspension and described their actions as a bad choice.
He was supposed to be a good guy. He was supposed to be building men in a football program. I don't know how gang rape is a bad choice, and I didn't understand the 1-game suspension.
In 2014, Tracy decided that she wanted to confront Coach Riley, but she knew she couldn't just walk into his office and say, "Remember me from 16 years ago?" So instead, she emailed a reporter who'd written a column about Riley.
And I said, "See, Coach Riley's not a great guy. This is what happened to me."
The reporter was John Canzano, a columnist for The Oregonian.
I almost fell off the couch because it's not what you expect. It's not the narrative that you get on Mike Riley. You know, this is not a guy who is even using profanity on the football field.
Tracy agreed to meet Canzano for coffee in the lobby of a downtown Portland high-rise.
She had in her hands a manila folder, and inside of it was the case file for her gang rape. You could tell it wasn't a fresh copy. It was something that she had carried around.
And at the end of that meeting,
you know, she stood up and I hugged her and I told her, "You've got a story. This is a story."
And I said, "John, what story? Seriously, who cares? Nobody cared then. Why would they care now?" He's like, "No, I think you could help someone."
Canzano went back to his office and read through that case file, the one Tracy carried around in a tattered manila folder, and he found something he hadn't expected. All 4 men had admitted that during those 6 hours, Brenda Tracy said no many times and begged one of the men to stop.
I mean, it was a slam dunk case when you talk to prosecutors.
John Canzano did talk to prosecutors, and to be precise, they told him that there's no such thing as a slam dunk when it comes to prosecuting sexual assault cases. But this was pretty close. But nobody told Brenda Tracy that.
The district attorney's office should have put their arm around her and said, "Look, we're in this together. Let's get you the counseling you need, and let's get these guys off the streets." And instead, you know, when she said, "I don't think I can do this," they just said, "Okay," and they moved along. And that didn't serve the community. It didn't serve Brenda. It didn't serve anybody but that football program.
In his investigation, Canzano found that the district attorney's office, the police, and the university had a history of holding annual meetings to discuss how to handle cases like these. Canzano spoke with prosecutors and with university representatives. He even managed to speak with one of the men Brenda had accused, though he still denied that what happened that morning was rape. At what point in your investigation did you contact Coach Riley on this?
Pretty early on, because, you know, I expected, in my experience, it was going to be very difficult to get him to make a comment. And I got a surprise like 2 or 3 days into this when he returned a call himself. And he owned it and just said, I had no idea.
Unlike the university he worked for, Canzano says Riley never saw a copy of the police report. On November 14, 2014, Brenda Tracy's story was printed in the Oregonian. It was the first time she was publicly identified. And this time, her community believed her.
You know what? Amazingly, they did. I was really surprised. Because this is before the Me Too movement. This is before all the scandals we've been seeing in sports, Baylor and all that stuff. But it was amazing. My community this time believed me. And they reached out to me. They loved on me.
671 comments were left on that story. One was signed by Coach Mike Riley. In it, he invited Tracy to meet with his football team and tell them her story.
There are so many coaches in today's world of college football that would claim amnesia. They'd lie. But here was a coach who was willing to say, you know what, I could have done better, and I want to meet her, and I want to tell her that in person, and I want her to talk to my team. I didn't think it was lip service from him.
In the months after the article and the Oregonian's follow-up investigation were published, Canzano and Tracy spoke often at town hall meetings and community gatherings.
The room was always full, but it was full of women. And she would say, I wish we could get to men because this is an issue that men need to solve.
And this is an important point. When Tracy says this is an issue men need to solve, she's not saying the obvious, that men need to stop committing crimes of sexual violence. Yes, more than 90% of sexual crimes are committed by men, but more than 90% of men will never commit a sexual crime.
But the 90% can be complicit in their silence. They can be complicit in their inaction. So I need men to get involved. I need them to become active. If the 90% of the population, men, women, LGBTQ, however you want to identify yourself as a human, would push back on the 10%, maybe we could gain some ground on this. Maybe we could stop this travesty.
In the 4 years since she first told her story, Brenda Tracy has helped change the laws in Oregon to extend the statute of limitations and to protect the rights of rape survivors. And she's spoken to thousands of college athletes to bring them in on her mission. But to do all that, she first needed to reach men with her message. And that wasn't going to happen as long as women were the only ones showing up to her talks. And this is where Coach Mike Riley comes back into the story. In the summer of 2016, Riley wasn't coaching at Oregon State anymore. He had taken the head coaching job at Nebraska.
And I actually didn't think that I would hear from him.
But as he had promised 2 years earlier, Riley called Tracy and invited her to visit his football team in Nebraska. And when she walked into his office, he apologized face to face.
There's a big difference between I'm sorry, period, and I'm sorry, but. And Coach Riley did the first, and it meant everything to me, and it was a huge moment in my life, and it did a lot for my healing.
A few minutes later, Coach Riley took Brenda into the team room, where 120 football players had gathered to hear her story.
Coach Riley stood right off to the side of me, where all of his players could see him. He was holding himself accountable to them, and I even said to them at one point, I hated your coach more than my rapist. And they all looked at him. He didn't flinch. And I could tell that they were uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable too.
That night, the story of Brenda Tracy and Mike Riley's unlikely reconciliation was all over the news. Word got around to other athletic departments at other universities.
Every single school that I've been to, every single program that I've worked with, they've found me and they've invited me in. And it keeps on going.
Every time she speaks to a team or athletic department, Tracy makes herself and her audience uncomfortable on purpose.
And then when I talk to you about my life now, my advocacy, then you have no choice but to see me as a victim who has now become a survivor.
And she has a message that the men in the room might not be expecting to hear.
I'm not here because I think you're the problem. I'm here because I know you're the solution.
And how do the players react to that idea?
Oh, they love it. I think most of the time we spend our time kind of wagging our finger at them, telling them what not to do, telling them that they're their problem. And I'm like the first woman they've seen that says, I'm here to tell you what you can do.
Brenda Tracy has started a nonprofit. It's called Set the Expectation. And she's given up her career as a nurse to focus on her advocacy work full time. But she says there simply isn't enough time to fulfill every speaking request.
Men want to be involved. Athletes, coaches want to be involved. And that's why they keep on calling me.
For Here and Now, I'm Karen Given.